evening, and welcome to another episode of It Came From the Living Horror of Zombie Beach, otherwise known as Zombie Beach, or Z Beach, or ZB. As always, I'm stepping over my co-host, Jerry.
Who's laughing too much to say anything? You have always been like the funniest person I've ever known.
Oh, thank you.
I remember this one time, and it's like we used to hang around together during college.
Yes,
but we were like rotating around we were orbiting other friends, and then one day I went over to your apartment, and I don't know if we were like drinking beer or what. And we were just like sitting on the floor talking, and I laughed so hard. We had such a good time. And then you left and you went back to Orland.
Right then and there? I mean, I didn't even pack up the apartment. I just left?
No, it was like before I got to actually see you again.
Oh, wow.
I think at that point, though, it was like toward the end of that evening, your friend, what was his name? Greg came in.
Greg?
Yeah, and I don't know what led up to it, but I was holding one of you guys had a cassette tape and was Franz Liszt. And I said, "What's this? Lizzet?" And your friend looked at me with such complete and utter scorn. I felt like I was like 3 inches high.
Yes. Well, Greg had this demeanor of a sixth or seventh grade school teacher, and he was very, very fastidious in his speech and his desire for things to be correct.
Yeah, well, he thought I was an idiot. Of course, he was right. But
well, yeah, but I mean, little did he know I was right there with you, so it worked out. It worked out pretty well. That is so funny. Yeah, I remember. Doing stuff like people just come over and sit around and we just talk. And you know how funny that we could entertain ourselves like that.
That doesn't ever happen anymore.
No, it's like it has to be revolving around some activity, or it has to be planned out. It's not.
Nobody,
I don't know.
Nobody ever spontaneously just drops by anymore. And when they do, you don't like it.
No, you get almost offended. I know for me, I never used to be this way. Never used to be this way until my first marriage. And my wife at that time was like, if someone just dropped over, oh my God. It was like you would have thought that they committed the worst heresy in the history of the world. And it was like, oh, they didn't call before they came over. The house is a mess and I look horrible and all that. And it would just like ruin the whole evening. And I'm like pretty easygoing guy, you know. It's like I can roll with the punches. Did I just sound Russian there for a second? I easygoing guy. I roll with punches. It just seemed like she just couldn't roll with that. And it's like somewhere along the line, I lost that too. And it's like people would come over and it'd be like, "Oh, how you doing? What are you up to? Okay, come on in. Would you like something to eat?" And it's like my hospitality gene just crapped out my pants or something.
But, I mean, does it actually happen very much?
That people just drop by?
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? My neighbor down the street, who I just got to know, he goes to the same church I do, and he's got this badass black Challenger, one of the new ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I'd seen it down the... Oh, dude, it's a killer car. And so I'd see it down the street and all that. And then I see it at church one day. Didn't even know he went to our church. And so I start up a conversation. I said, "Yeah, dude, you know, you should come by sometime and we'll talk." And I remember coming down the street and he was washing his car. It was like Saturday afternoon, about 5. And I was doing some stuff around the house and my wife had a client. And so like a couple hours after that, I hear this knock on my door. And I was like in the kitchen doing some stuff. I open the door and there he is. And he goes, "Hey, what are you doing? You said you wanted to get together and hang out." And I was like,
"Not now."
Not now. Yeah, exactly. It's like we needed to have plans. It needed to be like, you know, 2.5 weeks from now, we could set up a date and a time and get together and, you know, go to a sports bar if that's what you're into. And yeah, and it was so funny. I felt so put out for about the first 3 minutes, and I finally said, you know what, I got to get off it. Yeah. I used to be okay with people just dropping by. And it's like, we had the greatest time. We just sat and chatted and talked, and I got to know who he was, and it was just fun. But I think we've lost some of that. I think there's this, I don't know whether it's like an invasion of space, you know, when you are standing next to someone and they don't realize that your personal space is like, you know, at least a foot and a half around your entire perimeter.
Yeah, you get a European who's got a personal space of 3 inches.
Dude, when we went on a tour of the South China Seas, we did a cruise for a week, and all of the Middle Eastern people had, I mean, I'd be standing in the elevator. I would be the only one in the elevator, and I was up against the corner in the far end. This Middle Eastern guy came right up to me and stood so close to me. And it was just, and it was like, I'm sitting there going, okay, is he trying to hit on me? Is this like, is this how you say hello in Pakistani? Is this, I didn't know. And it's like, they just don't have a personal space issue because they don't really understand the notion of personal space.
Have you ever been to Italy?
You know what? No, but I've always wanted to go on a wine and food tour of Italy.
Apparently in Italy, people stare at you.
Well, I get that here, so that wouldn't be a very big...
I mean, you know how you don't meet people's eyes for much. You might glance at them, smile, and you look down or look away or something like that, unless you're actually engaged in a conversation or something. Right. Over there, they will stare at you. And if you look at them, they stare you in the eyes. They don't look away, and it doesn't mean anything. They're just curious.
Isn't that just good eye contact?
Yeah, but I mean, it's strangers.
Oh, you mean just like...
Yeah, just random people on the street, they just stare at each other.
Well, now, which could be kind of cool if it was like a beautiful Italian woman, but obviously that wouldn't be the right message that she was sending.
You know, going back to people dropping over, the last time I actually remember a period of time where people would drop over was right before I moved to... Dallas. I was still in Stockton, and we had these great neighbors who lived just right across the alleyway from us. In fact, one of them I'm still in contact with, Leslie and her ex-husband.
Yeah.
And their little kids, one of them's already in college now. Man, they would just drop by, and we'd drop by over there and hang out. But the cool thing is it came kind of got to the point where we were almost like extended family of each other, and we would just like, you know, they had permission to just walk into our house. And I haven't had that again until just before I left McKinney and I moved up here. We had this great neighbor who lived across the hallway from us, and she became like part of our family.
Wow.
And I miss that.
Yeah. You know, I miss actually on that topic. It's like, I just miss really getting to know my neighbors. And I mean, is it something I could do? Absolutely. I could go out of the house, and I do kind of know my one neighbor to the one side, but there's this neighbor on the other side that I really don't want to take the time to get to know because it kind of freaks me out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like creepy neighbor, like there could be like stacks of dead midgets in the basement or something.
Midgets.
Dude, you just had a total Beavis and Butthead moment there. Midgets.
Since they... Yeah, you can stack more of them.
You can stack.
That's why you would stock the midgets.
Well, yeah, because you can stack them.
There's this lady who's like the president of the Wizard of Oz fan club society or whatever, and she,
oh good lord,
she markets all this stuff out of her home. And she used to,
like, what does she sell?
She sells like figurines, just crap, you know. Crap. And she used to work for one of the theaters that Michelle worked at in there, and there, I forget the guy's name, it was one of the Munchkins. She knew one of the Munchkins.
And really?
He left her his Barca lounger, his lounge chair.
this little miniature.
And
thing.
Michael was sitting in the Munchkin's lounge chair. He's like, woohoo! This is great!
What the hell is that? It probably looked like an accessory from Major Matt Mason. Look at that. It's Major Matt Mason's Barca Lounger. What the hell? It's a freaking Munchkin's collector.
And this happened during a Christmas gathering. We went to their house for Christmas. this family is weird. It's like some weird, like Dickens bizarro family that transported itself to the 20th century.
It's kind of like if David Lynch directed Home for the Holidays, is what you're saying.
Strange. And, you know, like those the lady was like, hello, how are you? How do you have this kind of voice like this? And her, like, husband was like, you know, just would say these inappropriate things. I was like, okay, well, I guess it's time to go now. And he's, oh, yeah, time to feed the children a bunch of Quaaludes now, huh?
What?
What are you talking about?
Somebody's been representing the
Munchkins.
The hallucinogenic kids is what they were doing. Wow.
The kids had a great time. I was kind of like, this is just really strange.
I think you're going to say that your son broke the Bark Lounger.
Oh, that would have been tragic. Good Lord. Now, was it signed by the midget, or was it just standard?
No, it was his. She was friends with this guy.
Right.
She was friends.
Was it a pretty short relationship, or was it?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Sorry. Carry on.
I'm sorry. The laugh is dwarfing the joke.
Yes. Wow. So now what is she doing with this Barca Lounger? Because I'm just thinking, you can't really put it out in the living room.
Yes, no, it's there. It's like, yep, that's it. That's like these little pillows on it.
What? Put balloons on it?
Pillows.
Oh, pillows.
Balloons.
Oh, you're killing me. Can you even imagine that?
Four golden bricks, or
yeah. Here's the dwarf a lounger with some balloons on. What the hell?
The dwarf a lounger.
Seriously, you know, it's like when people get that far into something, there's got to be some sort of mental thing that just has not clicked off.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like it just keep. I mean, when does it come
reality
down? Exactly. It's like, you know what? Seriously, 10 years from now, you're going to hear something on the news that she had like 10 dwarves chained to her water heater downstairs. And it's going to be ugly, and it's going to be on Cops. That's all I'm saying. Well, I don't know.
I see her following them around with cookies and trying to entice them into her home.
Damn, I'm sorry. You're going to have to come with us. No, here, have some cookies. They're yellow food cookies. Would you like to sit in the dwarf lounger? Good Lord. No, ma'am, we have to take you in for keeping these dwarves hostage. No, they're not hostage. They're munchkins. They're going to lead you to the yellow brick road. No, ma'am, we're going to lead you to death row. So I'm afraid you're going to have to come with us. You're going to have to let the midgets go and come with us. I could just see that on Cops. That would be hilarious.
With a little blurry spot over the head. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, let us go.
Doesn't want to be seen on TV.
And they're so small that the blurry spot actually covers their entire being.
Yeah, it's a one pixel dot. It covers the whole damn dwarf. We represent the hostage dwarves, the hostage dwarves, the hostage dwarves. No wonder she chained them to the water heater. Singing dwarves can be so annoying.
And dangerous.
And dangerous. If left unchecked.
They won't take the fifth.
Well, they might if they can reach the liquor cabinet. Thank you.
But there'd be a kangaroo there.
The kangaroo would beat him to the punch. Oh my gosh. Seriously.
He sounds like Jerry.
Really? Does he really? He sounds like Jerry?
From Northern California, so and I know that Jerry spent a lot of time up there, so I maybe it's, I don't know, something regional.
Like, wow, like, man.
Well, it's just kind of like the little laid-back tone and you know, the tendency to use like and little pauses. It's like, yeah, it sounds like Jerry. This is kind of cool.
Now, see, Jerry, there you go. This could be a career opportunity for you to be the voice double.
No.
Of Jeffrey.
No, I want to be the voice double of Kermit the Frog.
Well,
crickets.
I was going to say, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming to Zombie Beach. We'll be back next week.
Hello, this is Kermit the Frog.
That's actually good. I like the kind of sine wave at the end of that. That was good.
How you doing, Miss Piggy?
Oh, Kermit, I love you so much.
Oh, let's make some more baby pig frogs.
Whoa. The show just took a sad and demented twist.
Well, we are always wondering about that here on Zombie Beach. What exactly would pig frogs look like? Call us.
Well, I'm thinking, like, what noise would they make, like, in a creek at night?
Yeah, really.
That would be the scary part.
Wasn't that in one of the movies? Didn't they show baby pig frogs? From their
what?
Yeah.
No, they did. They would never do that.
There was the beginning of a love scene where they kind of dip out of camera, and then yeah, I think you're right.
And then these pig frogs magically appear? What?
Well, then Miss Piggy shows up with, you know, Kermit's
children
spawn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now they didn't get married, did they?
I think it was like a dream sequence, so they did.
So they were, okay, well, I was thinking they'd be bastard pig frogs.
Bastard pig frogs.
I just thought that title. If you're going to call somebody something, bastard pig frog would probably be about the lowest you could go.
It's a wonderful movie, and that seduction scene.
Let me just say this about that. Any time you can have giant holographic eels with piranha teeth flying around your room, it's a good movie.
Yeah. I'll take your word on that one.
That's all I'm saying.
And don't forget the bondage.
Yes, that was slightly creepy, and the guy at the end, I can't remember.
You don't have problems with the holographic eels, but you have problems with a little bit of leather.
Well, no, I said the bondage scene was fine. I mean, I got it, I understand it. I mean, she was like all decked out, and that was her alter ego. But it's like it's not horrific. If I was looking for horrific, now had one of the eels been wearing the bondage outfit, now that would have been something.
Oh my God! Okay, I've got our porn music playing in my head now, and it's not a good image.
Bow chicka bow bow chicka bow chicka bow bow. That's all. It's got potential.
I don't think he's on Facebook. I don't.
Jeffrey Combs? He's got to be.
Yeah. Now, it would be interesting if he was on Twitter. That would be kind of cool.
Oh, you could follow him on Twitter? Could you imagine? What would he be talking about?
Acting?
I'm sitting at home watching Reanimator again. I'm eating a Hot Pocket and Cheetos watching Reanimator again.
Me and John Malkovich are playing pool.
Like pool again.
Again.
I'm signing an autograph for the paper boy. I'll give it to him when he comes back. Again.
Actually, you want to know an actor who's very funny on Twitter? Brent Spiner.
Oh, I bet.
Hey, I found I found out he was on Twitter, and I started following him. He just sends out these little comic bursts every so often.
He's a very like, funny guy.
Yeah, he is. Easter, he wanted to spend the day in bed, but apparently the neighbors next door kept leaving peeps on his doorstep. And then invited him to come over because they had ho-hos. So.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to join Twitter just to do that.
Yeah, you know what? Seriously, if you have time to do that, you're not acting. Well, that's all I'm going to say.
Well, everybody in Congress is doing it now.
Oh, that's true. Well, boy, how boring would that be? Could you imagine following a congressman's Twitter?
Yeah, really. Filibuster, click. Filibuster, click.
Ooh, cute page, click.
Yes, exactly. Hey, we got a new page.
Hey, groovy listeners. We have some upcoming themes that if you are interested in these themes, call in advance at 972-535-5833. That's my personal Skype number. Leave a message, and then we can include that in on the episodes. Things that we're going to cover in upcoming episodes are absinthe, karma, time, stress, sequels, and the death of a franchise. The parrots of marketing.
The parrots of marketing and other related birds.
Yeah.
Zombie animals. Sign twirlers.
What is sign twirlers?
You don't have sign twirlers where you are?
What are sign twirlers?
Well, you may have swine twirlers.
In Iowa, we have swine twirlers.
Twirlers, yes. Yeah. Which would be actually very funny, actually. I think that would be even funnier than a sign twirler. The sign twirlers are those guys, at least out here, they dress up
in
Statue of Liberty costumes and twirl big giant signs that say, "Let us do your taxes."
Okay. Yeah, well, we've got things. I've seen that, but I didn't know what the name of it was.
Dude, I am all over the swine twirling.
Swine twirlers. All right, pick up the pig. Okay, picking up the pig.
Reep.
Get it going really fast.
The pig is getting dizzy. The pig's about to chuck.
Hurling pine twirlers.
Hurling.
Pine?
It's a hurling, twirling swine. That sounds like a children's song.
The swine of pine.
It's a hurly.
Pine of swine.
Pine on the pine and doop 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 doo.
And eBay.
And eBay. So all this and eBay too.
Yeah.
What was that number again, Jerry?
972-535-5833.
And please, people, when you do call, make sure you leave your name, the city you're from, and which topic you would like to chime in about.
Oh, also, leave your credit card number and PIN number.
No. Oh, yeah. And if you are a swine twirler, we will do an entire episode based on you.
Swine twirlers, call in now, 535-5833.
Dude, I'm telling you right now that I would go out and buy a giant latex pig and, like, stand on a corner and just spin that thing around with my headphones on and have people stop and go, "What are you doing?" Dude, I answered this ad. They were looking for a swine twirler.
Thanks to our featured musical guest, Burning Babylon. We featured their song, King Dubby, from the album Knives to the Treble, available at magnatune.com. Also, thanks go out to Melanie, my co-host over at Don't Quit Your Day Job. You could find her and me and friends, Stacy and Pat,
over at dqydjpodcast.com. Have my gear ready.
I heard the phone answer, and then I hear this background music, and I'm going, dude, what the hell is that? Like, I thought it was like some sort of Skype plugin where you could add your favorite music for the on hold thing or something.
Actually, I'm listening to, I've got like four different songs from magnatunes.com picked out for the next four episodes.
Oh, excellent.
Because they let you use it for free. They want you to use their music on podcasts. It's,
oh, that's right. That's right. You told me about that. Yeah, that's a great thing.
And this one's called Ottoman Lobotomy.
Well, that totally fits.
Oh, it's really good.
So what kind of fun music did you find?
Well, I've got I could share them. Hold on.
Oh, please share.
All right, let me share some music here. I always have to remember how to do this. Let's see. Oh, yeah, there's a good one. There's a good one. There's a good one. There's one. It's the whole gamut we've got here. Okay, this is... Well, you've heard the Ottoman Lobotomy. Lobotomy.
Right, of Lobotomy? Lobotomy.
Okay, let me play this one. This is fun.
I don't think I should improvise, man. It's not like sitting at home, I can tell you that.
It's that's not like a great sound clip just there. Oh, I like that.
I know, but watch, it's at this perfect place. Hi, and welcome to Mr. Beefalo.
Dude, that's
oh, wait,
perfect.
This isn't Beefalo. But, I mean, you know, you'd stop it right there and then...
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, I like the little sound clip at the beginning, too.
Yeah.
This ain't like improvising. This ain't like sitting at home.
I know.
And this yes, actually it is.
It is. This is another good one.
Oh, I like this.
This would be for a more spacey episode.
Yes. Tonight.
On Zombie Beach. We explore Tantra. I want you to splay your third chakra.
If you've got your chakras, please write on the board.
Please remove all chakras from your desk before you leave. Anyway.
Yes. And if you're thirsty, please have a nice hot cup of chakra full of nuts.
blended hot chakra. Yeah.
Tastes like Carmen.
This is that one I was listening to. I like this a lot.
Oh, it has a very Middle Eastern flair.
Yeah. And it has a lot of stops, too. there's a lot of places where it plays and then it just stops. And then
are you recording this right now?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I was going to say this would be a very funny episode on how we pick music.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
oh, that's hilarious. That's good stuff. What was the name? Email me that website again.
Oh, yeah. Magnatune.com.
Magnatune.
Magnatune.
Okay, .com.